Grace to you and peace from God who brings us together as God's family and who draws us more deeply into the world. Amen. In our gospel lesson from John this morning, Jesus has moved across the lake, having fed the 5,000 with bread and fish. Now, together with his disciples, the folks who had been there kept pursuing Jesus and the disciples. They could not get enough. And in our reading for this morning, Jesus turns to the crowd, having fed them with tangible bread, with food, with stuff that they could touch and feel and taste and eat. He says this: I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And immediately the crowd begins to complain. They complained about him because he said he was the bread come down from heaven. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, the one that we have known, the one who is just like us, flesh and bone and blood, and whose father and mother we know? They cannot, having received the tangible, eatable, touchable bread, understand Jesus as the bread from heaven. I sometimes wonder that down the road after Jesus had died, after he had been killed, I wondered about how those folks who were there that day when the bread and the fish were passed out, who were there that day when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, I wonder what they thought. Did they remember when Jesus had said, I am the bread of life, and finally get it? Or did they reminisce nostalgically about the good old days when Jesus was with them over a glass of wine in the fading light of the day, and then get on with the necessaries of life, unmoved, unchanged? Or I wonder, in those days that followed, in the years that intervened, did they ponder those words, I am the bread of life, and wonder what Jesus meant? What did they see from that day? And what did they remember? This came to mind as I thought about my family. Mine is not a particularly nostalgic family. In many ways, my brothers and I were raised to live solidly in the present, with a constant and roving eye to the future and its glorious possibilities. We are an entrepreneurial family, always looking for the next thing. We don't and haven't dwelt much on our past, or, to be perfectly honest, know much about our family history. We concentrated always on what was real and knowable, things that we could touch and take and live with. But things change. We started having grandchildren. And it is amazing to watch the strange evolution that has occurred in myself and my brothers. As teens, we hardly ever talk to one another, and certainly not civilly very often. But now, in the last third of our lives, some of us are a little further along in that third than others, we have become different. Family has become more real than I ever thought it would be, more important than I ever thought it would be. For me, it started with my oldest brother, Lowell, who inherited a box of photos when my mother died. It was definitely not something he wanted. Being the older brother, he got stuck with the pictures, and then he would at night start to scan those photos. And in among those photos were pictures of my grandfather, my grandmothers, my dad, my mom, and others. And it occurred to me as I was looking at a photo, and I asked Jeannie, "Who is this?" And she said, "That's your grandfather." And then I had to say, "So who's this?" "Well, that was your grandmother." As I said, we were not a close family. But among those photos were some of my dad. And it dawned on me that my father, who died when I was in my early 20s, had only ever met two of his grandchildren. And of course, none of his great-grandchildren. Rick, who was so known to me, was unknown to them. Not real. Just an image on the screen. A faded photograph, a half-remembered story. They never sat with my dad as he played the piano, or played the piano with him as he played tunes from The Sound of Music, which always, by the way, started out with, "The hills are alive," or it was either that one, or I cannot tell you how many times I heard, "Climb every mountain." I didn't even know that was from The Sound of Music until I got married and Jeannie made me watch it on television. My grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and most of his other grandchildren never heard that sound. They never watched him cheat at poker with his church friends. They never got up in the morning and watched him figure out every single morning his net worth over a bowl of cereal and a beer. For me, those experiences were real. He was real for me and my brothers, but not for the generations that passed afterward, because we saw him with our own eyes. But on the other hand, it also occurred to me that everything that had ever occurred to him and in his life before I was born was as equally unknown to me as his whole life was to his grandchildren. It was just as opaque and unknown. And so I too, like them, am coming to know him through story and photos. It turns out that he did not suddenly appear on the earth as a 30-something father, as in this picture. It turns out he was a teenager. I had to look 4 times at this photo to make sure that that was actually my dad. And if it turns out that it wasn't, and it's just some random stranger that happened to be in the box, I'm really sorry, but I'm pretty sure that was him. He was a teenager. And even though the only sporty thing I ever remember my father doing was tennis, at least at one point in his life, he apparently played basketball. Another photo. I had no idea. You see, my father is becoming more real to me through these stories and photos and shared memories. Laughter, tears, and the grief of my brothers and my sisters-in-law. He is coming to life for me and my grandchildren as we tell those stories again and again and again. And he comes back to life. I tell that story about my dad because I think about those people who gathered after the death of Jesus and about this community that gathers 2,000 years later. Could they only picture Jesus as the one who passed out bread one day and who healed them? Was that all they could see in their mind's eye, or was there something more? I think those gathered around Jesus that day could not picture Jesus as the bread of life any more than I could picture my father as a basketball player. Or any more than I think my grandchildren will be able to picture me as a black belt in Taekwondo, which I am. You see, how we come to see Jesus in our lives makes a difference whether or not in the telling of the story we see him as bread of life and not just provider of bread. That there is something rich and deep and life-changing in telling the story of Jesus again and again. That he is the bread of life. And that bread of life is made with more than just wheat, water, yeast, and salt. The bread of life longs to be lived and remembered and shared in the experiences of love, sacrifice, and the joy and disappointment of God's people gathered and sent for the sake of the world. Sometimes even we in the church, even us pastors, have trouble getting a glimpse of that bread, that living bread, that bread of life which brings promise. Sometimes we can become like the villagers around Jesus, seeing only what is before our eyes and missing the intimate but less obvious declaration of life that Jesus offers as a grace-filled gift. Like the people who were gathered around Jesus that day, we long for manna and its fleeting nourishment, and we miss the true bread from heaven that will feed us forever. Jesus. For our community and much of the church community, so much has changed. As we have been unable to see one another in person for so long, though all of us long once again to stand together laughing in the courtyard, drinking a cup of coffee, and having one of Bill Potter's brownies. And I pray with you that over the next months we will be able to come together again in person so that we can sustain that deep and holy faith that comes to us in Jesus. I pray that for now, we can see Jesus as the bread of life with new eyes. To see in him the hope that will not just sustain us, but bring us to new an abundant life. I pray that we can fill these gaps in our togetherness and in these strange times with the stories of Christ among us. And that in telling the stories again and again, not only with our mouths and our songs, but with our very lives, that Jesus will come together, or Jesus will come to life again for us each day. In many ways, although my dad died, how many years is it now? 30-some-odd years ago. He is more alive to me today as I pass on his memory to the next generation. And I pray that Christ will be alive for us as we share the gifts of grace, that Jesus is our bread of life from now and for many generations to come. I pray that we can eat the bread of life as we truly see Jesus in our midst, share his gospel freely and completely as we become the bread of life for the world. Amen. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day. You are invited to rise as you are able as we sing together, O Living Bread from Heaven.